يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he records a particular story in his Sahih about a time wherein Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu an, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu an, records that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approached him while he was with his wife Fatima radiallahu anha, and the two of them, they were sleeping. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approached Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu an, and he told his cousin, he told him that أَلَا تُصَلُّونَ, don't you want to pray قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ. And Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu an, despite being the status that we know him to have among those that are granted Jannah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Al-Ashar al-Mubashsharuna bil-Jannah, we know the status of this particular individual. Nonetheless, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to get up and pray, his response was that if our souls are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wants us to wake up, we will wake up. If not, we will not wake up. And he went back to sleep. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he struck his thigh and he recited a verse of the Quran wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. Mankind is the most quarrelsome of beings. And from this particular incident and from this ayah, there are a number of different lessons that we can take away from it. One of it is the fact that there's a proclivity of mankind that when somebody tells him to do something else, his immediate reaction, instead of accepting that particular advice, is to challenge the person and give a rebuttal and refutation of what the person is trying to tell you to do. And this is an encouragement towards our children and the youth as well, is that when your parents are telling you something that you know is good for you, don't be one that is quick to retort and react back to what your parents are advising, but rather understand that they have your best interest in mind. The second point here is that we also learn from this particular narration the proclivity of mankind to be lazy. And this particular example, whether we have seen it with our own children or not, we may have also seen it from our fathers towards us as well, in which there might have been a particular day in which they were trying to encourage us to wake up for Salatul Fajr, for example, and we gave them a response and we went back to sleep. In this particular example, it was one of an optional prayer, which is Qiyamul Layl, which is not as significant, of course, as the Fajr, but the point here is understood. In today's khutbah, we'll focus on the second part of what we have mentioned, and that is to understand and make it such that we become from those individuals that utilizes our time effectively. And we are not from those, especially those that are young, that spends the entirety of the summer or a good portion of it sleeping a good amount of it and wasting our time and not making effective use of the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So in today's khutbah, we'll tackle the topic of laziness. What are some of the particular reasons by which we or our children become lazy? And more important to this, what are some tactics or some advices from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ensure that we're making most effective use of our time? We all memorize Surah Al-Asr. And in this particular surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, takes an oath by time. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by any part of His creation, you need to understand that that particular oath is something which is great. وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسْمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. That is a great oath if only but you knew. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْعَصْر, He takes an oath by this creation of time. And He says the default position of mankind is that they are in a state of loss. And thereafter, he mentions the exceptions that we all know, apart from those that believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They prove that belief through their actions, and they advise each other to the truth, and they advise each other to patience. The early Muslims, is mentioned about them, that there were two men from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when they used to meet each other, they used to recite Surah Al-Asr to each other as a form of advice. And we all know the translation of this surah, that was their habit, to encourage each other to make effective use of their time. And Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah as well, he mentions that if a person was to contemplate this surah alone, that would be sufficient for them to understand what they should do in this life that has been given to them and make effective use of their time. As for the particular reasons by which a person may become lazy, we'll mention five of them in today's khutbah. The first of these is having an excessive amount of free time. We know that when it came to the school year, especially for those that have children, their days were filled with going to school, after school activities, homework, and things of that nature. And on account of that, they were not lazy. But when you become a person that has an excess amount of free time, that you're not filling it up with useful things, whether it's things, sports even, for example, or coming to the masjid, reciting the Quran, or doing things that will increase you in terms of your academic well-being and your future, or working, when you have an excess amount of free time, you are going to waste it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us in a hadith that we all know, نِعْمَتَان مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ, that there are two blessings that people, they squander when they have them. They have these great blessings, and when they have them, many people don't take advantage of them. One of them is الصِّحَّة, which is good health. Imagine that moment in which you did not have that good health, or when you get older and your health starts to be compromised, then you start to realize the value of the health that you had when you were younger. And many people don't take advantage of that. And in a similar manner, when a lot of people have that free time, especially in the summer months, there is so much that you can actually do. How much Quran could you potentially memorize? How many skills could you potentially acquire? How many additional beneficial things could you do in the summer months? But for a lot of the youth, they end up spending their time either wasting it online, endlessly scrolling TikTok and playing video games, or it could be also that they're wasting their time excessively sleeping and waking up at 2 or 3 p.m. and wasting this great ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us of time. So the first cure to not wasting a lot of your time is to not have a lot of free amount of it. The first cure to not be lazy in respects to your time is to ensure that your schedule does not have a lot of free time in it. The second point is to have a clear goal in mind. Because as human beings, we are goal-oriented. If you don't have a clear goal in mind, what is the purpose for a person or a child to understand, I'm studying this, but what's the end goal of this? A lot of times kids would even say, when they're studying math, for example, I'm never going to use this, or they might make a reason because they understand that when they are learning something, there needs to be an end goal behind what they are doing. And from this, we need to look into establishing goals for ourselves in the dunya as well as the akhirah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us in the hadith, he says that izzul mu'min istighna'uhu 'anil nas, that the honor of a believer is to be independent of others. And this is particularly an encouragement for those that are in their teens, that instead of asking your parents for everything, and instead of the parents giving the child anything, everything at the same time, then make it or make a point to encourage your children to work. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that is the izzah of a mu'min, that you work for your own money. And in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us that ma akala ahadun ta'amun qat khayran min an ya'kula min 'amali yadihi, that there is no food that is purer and more better for you to consume than food that you earned through the work of your own hands. Meaning you have a job, you work, you make money through laborious work, in fact, and then you purchase whatever you need to purchase with that and sustain yourself in that way. That is the best type of food for you. And the Prophet ﷺ continues and goes on to say that كَانَ نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ that the Prophet of Allah, Dawood ﷺ, was one that used to work and eat from the work of his own hands. In another narration, it is also mentioned that there were some elderly from among the Sahaba, and they noticed those that were young and had a lot of energy. And they said, what is wrong with these people that if we were in this situation, we would have spent our time fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard this, he said, don't say this. For if these people are working in order to earn for their elderly parents, then they are fi sabilillah, they are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if these people are earning for the sake that they can provide for their young children, then they are also fi sabilillah. And if this person is also earning for the sake of being independent of others and earning his own livelihood, this person is also fi sabilillah. However, if this person is earning for the sake of showing off or to compete with others in terms of this dunya, as the youth or the kids of today's time would say, to flex, then this person is fi sabil shaytan, they are in the path of shaytan. So the understanding here is that have a motivation for yourself, be one that is striving to be independent in this way. Another way by which a person needs to have a motivation is to understand that you're only going to be in this life for a short while, and you want to try to build for yourself passive income in terms of good deeds. As we know in the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا مَاتِ ابْنُ آدَمْ إِنْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ, that when the son of Adam passes away, their deeds are cut off except for three. One of them is صَدَقَةُ الْجَارِيَةِ, an ongoing charity. Work towards that, and this will be a means of you making effective use of your time. And similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes on to say, وَعِلْمٌ يَنْتَفِعُ النَّاسُ بِهِ, leaving behind any type of knowledge which is beneficial to others. And this category is actually am, it's general. Meaning if you leave behind knowledge of medicine, which will be beneficial to others, is also contained in this. If you leave behind an engineering feat, again, this particular encouragement is general. Any knowledge which is of benefit, the primary one, of course, is religious knowledge. But any knowledge which you leave behind which will benefit people, this will be an ongoing charity as part of your legacy. When you live by this standard, there's no way that you could possibly be from those that is lazy. And there are many examples in our history of our scholars spending their time to the point where we benefit from much of their work. One of these scholars, Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, you can hardly find a masjid which will not contain one of his books. The famous Arba'un of An-Nawawi is something that which most Muslims know about. Or his famous book, Riyadu Salihin, you cannot find a masjid without this particular book found therein. There are many other works that he wrote. For example, the most famous explanation or sharh of Sahih Muslim is written by him. He wrote a work on fiqh called Majmu' and many, many other works. He was a person that only lived to the age of 44. He lived till the age of 44, and the entire ummah is benefiting from this particular individual's work. And this also tells us that a person that has a particular vision in mind, that person is not going to be lazy. He was one that slept very little. He would sleep 2 or 3 hours a day, sleeping on his books and then continuing again. And we benefit from his works up until today's time. So, عِلْمٌ يَنْتَفِعُ النَّاسُ بِهِ. And then also, وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُ لَهُ. This by default, when a person has a child, whether they are Muslim or not, righteous or not, once you have a child, this will give you a particular motivation, because this child becomes part of your legacy. And when you think about this and you envision yourself that I want to leave behind children like this and work towards that particular goal, this is going to make it such that you're going to spend your time effectively trying to work up until that particular point. And also, most importantly, is work towards the goal of Al-Akhirah. When you have a particular goal of Al-Akhirah, you're going to work effectively towards it and you will not waste your time. You understand the value of performing 2 rak'at for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand the reward and effectiveness of even reciting Subhanallah once. You're not going to waste your time when you understand this. Compete with each other, not for the sake of the dunya, but rather for the sake of Al-Akhirah. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاءُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ that compete with each other for the sake of al-akhirah and a jannah whose width is that of the heavens and the earth. Imagine just performing two rak'at before Salatul Fajr, خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا better than the entire world and everything that it contains. And if you have this particular vision in mind, you're going to spend your time effectively. The third reason by which a person may not be as motivated is that a person does not have a high self-confidence in themselves. A person does not have high self-confidence in themselves and they have a limiting belief in what they can achieve in terms of this dunya or in the akhirah. And sometimes your worst enemy is actually your own mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الظَّنِ O you who believe, abstain from much suspicion and negative thought in general. Because your thoughts will effectively become your words. And those words will effectively become your actions. And those actions will effectively become your character. And your character will eventually become your habits, and your habits will eventually become your destiny. So what you think about is where you're going to eventually end up. Now a thought experiment for you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us in a particular narration that there will be 70,000 individuals. 70,000 people from this particular ummah that will enter Jannah بغير حساب, without any account. Now, most people when they hear this hadith, they're going to say, it's not me, it's somebody else. But it's definitely not me. How do you know this? How do you not know that one thing that you did in your life was not so pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're counted from among this category? And this is a self-limiting belief which makes people lazy and they think for themselves that I cannot achieve. I cannot become a hafiz. I cannot become a person that is good for Islam. I cannot become a person that is going to be good in this dunya. And they limit themselves in this way and they squander away all of their potential. You have one chance, one life to prove yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you limiting your own story? This is your story. So you need to be encouraged to be from those that tries to do their best in this life and in the next life. The only one limiting yourself, you is yourself. And when you have this self-limiting belief, why would you bother to study? You've already made your own destiny for yourself that there's nothing more that I can accomplish in this world. And this will be a means of your detriment in this life and perhaps even in the next life as well. The fourth reason for which a person might exhibit traits of laziness is that a person has a love of sleep, a love of eating, and a love of luxury. When a person has these three things, you are going to exhibit traits of laziness by default. Because the Prophet ﷺ, as we know in a hadith, that many people they hear but they don't practice. We all know this hadith. But very few Muslims in fact actually practice it, and there's a lot of wisdom in it as well. The Prophet ﷺ, he tells us that مَا مَلَأَ آدَمِيٌ وِعَاءً شَرًّا مِنْ بَطْنٍ that there is no vessel that the son of Adam fills which is worse than that of their belly. Leave one third for food, leave one third for drink, and leave one third empty. Because you will find when you see a lion, for example, when a lion is full, they are sleeping. When they are hungry, they are hunting. If a person wants energy, then don't eat too much because you're going to need to rest in order to digest this food. So one of those ways by which a person becomes lazy is becoming one that eats excessively. And similarly, one that sleeps a lot, this is going to waste a lot of your time. In fact, one of those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves excessively is when you leave your sleep for the sake of ibadah. We all understand how difficult it can be to wake up for Salat al-Fajr, but giving up your sleep for the sake of Allah is something very beloved to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran that فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ that the nafs or the soul does not know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for them on account of what they used to do. And the ulama in their translation of this were the mufassirun, they say that إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ in Jannah are things the eyes has not seen, the ears have not heard, and the heart has not felt. What is the ayah just before this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the quality of those particular individuals by saying تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا they are those that leave their bedside for the sake of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fear and in hope. Be one that does not sleep excessively. This will make you want to rest from your sleep and build this negative habit as well. We mentioned the story of Imam al-Nawawi who used to sleep very little. In 44 years, he did more than many people would be able to do in multiple lifetimes. So become one that is very cautious of the amount that a person is sleeping. And the third point is in regards to being one that has a love of luxury. Sometimes people that are born into wealth, they end up being lazier than those that perhaps were not. Because the one that was not born into wealth needs to work for their money harder than the one that was born into it. And if you find yourself in this situation, then look to no other example than that of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu. Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was one that was born into the lap of luxury. He was an idle youth that used to enjoy the blessings of this world, whether halal or haram, used to enjoy everything this world had to offer. And he was one that gave up everything for the sake of Islam, to the point that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now gave him a new purpose. He was one of the first to give a da'wah to the people of Madinatul Munawwara. He was one that gave his life in the battle of Uhud, eventually becoming a shaheed in that particular battle. And today people, they name their children after Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu. If he was one that simply enjoyed the luxuries of this dunya, nobody would have remembered him. And this is something to consider if you find yourself in this particular category. The fifth reason by which a person may exhibit traits of laziness, and this particularly is in regards to a person that is lazy with respect to their worship or their ibadat, is a person having a weak belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described a category of people as being lazy in the Quran. And those particular individuals are those that are lazy when it comes to their prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that regarding al-munafiqoon, the hypocrites, he says, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالًا. When they stand for prayer, they do so lazily. There are some people that are forced to come to Jumu'ah by their parents. They have no interest in being here. There are some people that are forced to perform Salatul Fajr, they have no interest in performing Salatul Fajr. And for those particular people, the reason why they are lazy, in other aspects of their life they might be okay, but when it comes to their worship, they might be lazy for the particular reason that they have a deficiency in their faith. We'll mention now some of the cures to this, just five very quickly, that if you find yourself being lazy, what are some things you can do to combat this? The first is that if you are lazy with respect to your worship, then the cure to this is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, that those that truly fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that have khashya of Him, of fear and love of Him, are those that know Him. If you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know His punishment, you know His reward, you know how great He is, you know all of the blessings that He gave you, then you would not squander and waste your time. You'd want to achieve the best by Him as well. Learn about Iman before you learn the Quran. When you have children that know the value of this Quran, and they understand the value that they're going to get in an Akhirah and the Dunya, and they want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of love and fear for Him, you're going to find that child wants to learn the Quran. But if you tell another child, simply learn the Quran, you have to do it as a chore, they will not be interested. Learn Iman before you learn the Quran. That is the first point. And to this effect, you would also make dua to Him. There is one particular dua the Prophet ﷺ tells us and teaches us. Actually, in fact, there's multiple of them. In regards to a person that may be lazy, the Prophet ﷺ, he teaches us to say that Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal. O Allah, I seek refuge in You from inability and laziness. And if a person knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they understand who He is, and they understand the value of time, and they say this dua, this could be a means of them combating this particular weakness. In fact, there's another dua you can say at the end of the prayer. You can say it before you say it taslim, or after it as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions the hadith that he told Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, that I love you, should I teach you something to say at the end of every prayer? Say, Allahumma a'idni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, I seek your assistance in worshipping You. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrik, in remembering You and thanking You and worshipping You in the best possible way. The second way a person can combat laziness, especially for your children as well, is to establish a goal for them based on their own abilities. So establish a goal for yourself in this dunya, and if you have children, establish a goal based on their abilities. And the master of this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to look at the youth among the Sahaba and see what traits they were good at, and used to encourage them in that particular area. As an example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the battle of Badr, there were many people among the Sahaba that wanted to participate As you can imagine, this great battle, the first battle of Islam. One of those individuals was Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked at him and he said that you're too young to attend this battle. And he was saddened by this fact. He was only 11 or 12 at the time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, instead of discouraging him, he looked at him and he said that you have an ability to memorize and learn language. And he encouraged him to learn the Jewish scriptures, to learn the Hebrew language, and to learn the Syriac language as well. Eventually, he became the official scribe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To the point that even when the Prophet ﷺ passed away and the battle of Yamama took place, in which many of the Huffaz lost their lives and the Muslims were concerned in terms of wanting to preserve the Quran. If all those that have memorized the Quran are going to lose their lives, then how is the Quran going to reach generations later? So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and many others among the senior from the Sahaba, they made an initiative to preserve the Quran and compile it. And the one that was the head of this particular initiative was again none other than Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. This all started from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam identifying a trait in that particular child and encouraging him in it. The third way by which a person can combat laziness is to be one that is constantly active. Even if it is something beneficial, the Prophet, even if it is something just generally for fun, as long as it's not haram, and it is something generally beneficial, the Prophet ﷺ says, "Ihris ala ma yinfa'uk." Be one that is eager to do things which are going to benefit you, whether it's for your body, whether it's for brotherhood, or whatever else it might be. Because laziness brings about more laziness, and activity brings about more activity. As we can also understand from a particular line of poetry by Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah, wherein he looked at a puddle of water and he said, Inni ra'aytu wuquf al-ma yufsidu in saha tab wa in lam yajri lam yatib. He was looking at a pond of water and he says that when it is standing still, it becomes stagnant and spoils. But when it starts moving like a stream, it becomes pure and it will not spoil either. So again, more activity brings about activity and laziness brings about laziness as well. Be one that goes out to the mountains and looks at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an act of worship in and of itself. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Just looking at the creation and saying, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. You have not created all of this in vain. This is in and of itself an act of worship. It will give you some motivation as well and dispel many of these traits of laziness as we have described. The fourth point here is to be a morning person. To be a morning person. Many of us, we end up staying up late at night, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and you end up sleeping after Salat al-Fajr. And we sleep until 2, 3, 4 o'clock. The Prophet ﷺ made a dua for this ummah for the morning. Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. The Prophet's dua for this ummah was in the morning. And if you become a morning person, there's much more that you can achieve. There are some people that they find themselves setting their alarm clock when they're young. Let's say for Salatul Fajr, they press snooze. Next thing you know, it's 8 o'clock. They press snooze. Next thing you know, it's 12 o'clock. They press snooze. Next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock. They wake up. Their father has mowed the lawn. He has done the groceries. He's cleaned the house. He's done his work. He's achieved so much and they only woke up in that moment. There is much blessing to be found in the morning for our youth. Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. If you want to get things done in life, become a morning person. And the final point, and we'll conclude with this hadith, is that if a person overslept for Salatul Fajr, was lazy in this area, the best thing to do is pray right when you remember. 8 o'clock you woke up, 12 o'clock you woke up, immediately pray right then and there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ لِذِكْرِي. And this actually has two translations showing the breadth of the Arabic language. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ لِذِكْرِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one translation, if you consider this lam, lam al-ta'lil for the nahwiyun, if we consider this lam, lam al-ta'lil, the translation becomes, we establish prayer, or establish prayer for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the reason why we pray. The second translation, if you consider this lam, lam al-waqt, you translate it as establish prayer when you remember. Whenever you remember you missed it, pray right away. And the reason for this is in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us that when you go to sleep, shaitan will tie three knots in the back of your neck and say, the night is long, so sleep. When a person wakes up and they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhi nushur, the first knot is untied. When a person makes wudu, the second knot is untied. And when a person prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the third knot is untied. When you do this, you'll wake up in a state of energy and an excitement. And if a person does not do these three things, and these knots are left in their neck, then a person would wake up in a state of sluggishness and laziness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those that makes effective use of our time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our youth that make effective use of their time, especially in the summer. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our time a proof for us and not against us on the Day of Judgment. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه الغفور الرحيم. Alhamdulillah, الذي أرسل نبيه برسالات وأيده بالمعجزات رب الأرض رب السماوات أحمده أبلغ حمدا وأكمله وأزكاه وأشمله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الواحد الغفار وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى المختار صلى الله عليه وزاده فضل وشرف لديه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوصيكم أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم الأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. واذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة.